Good choice, Bob.
In honor of you, Bogey, center field.
I love playing center field, by the way. You can see the whole game and get a jump on the ball. And welcome to our program, folks. You get the blessing, Bob Belts, Bo Mitchell. Glad you're with us, folks. Wake up. Listen to this part. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can be center field. So wherever you are today, tuned in to KOA and you get the blessing, guess what? You're saying the right thing if you're saying, put me in, coach. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and he wants to put you in. All you got to do is respond. So we're going to introduce you to a guest today like we do every week that has responded, and the coach has put him in the right slot, the right time, and you're going to love meeting Derek Kirkendall, our guest today. But first, Bob, how you doing, and are you into the full flow of Major League Baseball?
You know, I was just thinking you were a professional ball player and
minor leagues, by the way.
And I didn't make it on the seventh grade team, so you know, baseball. Because somebody's got to be in the stands. You know, that's the key to the deal.
You were a football player, tailback, right? Yeah.
I tried to tackle people in the baseball tryout. It didn't work. So that was the.
I was only a good baseball player because my dad was. But
put me in, coach. You know, a number of years ago when we kind of did some of our men's retreats, and we had the book that ended up being Daily Disciplines, but that I entitled Walk Like a Man. But they, you know, the guys at Promise Keepers didn't think that was spiritual enough or something. But anyway, but the seventh step was put me in, coach. So, yeah, every day.
I liked when Bill Tipton walked over to me one night and said, pick up a bat, Mitchell, and get up there and win the game. I was thinking, how does he know I can do that? And the whole time I was hitting, I was thinking, it's nice when somebody believes in you, and I hit one way over the fence. This guy named Bob, what was his name? It won the game, and I was rounding third, like the song says, and he came to the baseline and said, you'll never do that to me again. And I was thinking, once was enough. You lose. But I was glad that coach put me in. Yep. Derek Kirkendall is our guest today, and he's the executive director of...
Yes.
What do we call it? Providence Network. All right. It's had a few names, but I love what you do, Derek, and I love your family. And I don't know you well, but I love you, and I'm really glad you're on the show today.
Thank you, Bo, and thank you, Bob.
Good to have you, Derek. Yes.
So you've been how long as executive director of Providence Network?
Coming up on 1 year.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Glad the coach put you in?
Yes. It's been a challenge, but one I feel like I've been called to, and it's a real honor to serve in this way. Yes.
And tell us at the outset, what does Providence Network do?
Providence Network is a faith-based Christian ministry to the homeless, the addicted, and those suffering from domestic violence. Hmm. It's a two-year housing program. So folks come and live with us in a big house community setting, and they go through life skills training, get a job, pay rent, get back on their feet.
I think that is a really, really good idea, and I think it's great you're there. So how many homes do y'all have?
Right now we have 5 properties, and we've been around. We're celebrating our 21st anniversary this year, and those homes have been building over the years, and we are excited to be looking at possibly a 6th pretty soon here. I'd like to talk about maybe later.
And I know Bob Scold and Kevin Grenier were before you, but when this position opened, you were the right guy to step in this slot. So tell me how you and your wife kind of came to that decision.
Well, I come from a background that's kind of all over the place. I have a master's of social work, worked in mental health counseling, worked in affordable housing, worked in medical social work, and have worked in urban ministry. So when a friend of mine about a year ago talked to me about the possibility of stepping into this position with Providence Network, I felt like I was already on my way home. I really feel like my heart is in this idea of social justice ministry, urban ministry, and helping the broken with very relevant needs. And that's why Providence Network has been a great fit for me. And, you know, I'll never forget the story years ago where I really felt like God grabbed my heart for this type of work was when I was in college tutoring an after-school program in an inner-city church. And I'd gotten to know these three boys pretty well because I'd held my own against them on the basketball court. And one day when they were all sitting on the side of the street after the church had closed, I said, "Where's your ride?" And they said, "Oh, it's not come yet." And I said, "Jump in. I'll give you a ride." So I put them in the station wagon, drove them down the street, and as they pointed out their home, it was a hotel room or a motel, and they had me drive through the driveway, and I was about to stop, and the oldest one said, "Keep driving." And I said, "Okay," and I drove out, and I said, "Well, where do you want me to go? I thought that's where you lived." And he said, "No, there was a sock on the door," and I was kind of confused, still confused that they actually lived in a motel, but he said there was a sock on the door, and that means mom's working, doing business with a man. And I looked at him, and he was very ashamed, and he said, "Just take me to my aunt's." And as I drove those boys to their aunt's house down the road, I learned that their dad had been on a crack cocaine binge a year before that, and they hadn't seen him in over a year. And in order to keep food on the kids' table, the mom had been prostituting herself. And that day, my heart broke, and it broke for these boys, but it broke because I was being exposed to this cycle in the inner city of poverty, addiction, violence, and really hopelessness that's just rampant throughout our inner cities. And that day, I just felt a resolve to get involved and do something about this this problem, this cycle that's going on. And I really feel like ever since then, God has blessed me with opportunities and mentors that have really been leading me in directions to help me become part of a solution for these problems.
And, you know, it's interesting, that story you share, because I think the Providence Network started with this lady that was working with teenage prostitutes on Colfax between the Capitol and Yosemite. And when she would get the kids, like between the ages of 11 and 14, she said both boys and girls, when she'd get the kids to come with her instead of with the broker or the client, the only place she had to take them was the IHOP for a couple hours and try to protect them from this life they were kind of forced into. Yeah. And I think the first house was to be an alternative for this lady named Martha Wilson to take kids. So that's interesting how God wove that story in your mind and heart.
Yeah.
Let's go clear back to your folks, Carol and Lynn Kirkendall, two of the sweetest, most dynamic people I've ever met. In fact, when your name came up for this position with Providence Network, I said, "You know, I don't really know him that well. I met him when he was a midget." How old are you now, Derek?
37.
Yeah, when you were just a kid. But I said, his parents are like two of the best in the world, so don't look any further. Hire him and don't let him get away. But tell us about your mom and dad and your home growing up and how you came to Christ initially. Because we try to encourage listeners to consider the claims of Christ and jump in here.
Well, I am very fortunate, blessed to have grown up with my parents, both being believers and really instilling that value in our home from an early age. But in my case, they always also gave me the respect to make my own decision. And although church was part of our family routine, they never held that over me. And so it really wasn't until high school that I came to my own faith, and through my experience with a parachurch ministry called Young Life, really saw that this Christianity was a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that could be transformative. And once I got a taste of that, I made that decision.
Who was your YL leader?
Pardon? Oh, Young Life, Ray Donatucci up in Boulder.
That's what I thought.
And to this day continues to be a special mentor in my life.
You know, Ray's wife, Janie,
sure,
big baseball fan. She's got her priorities straight. She's quite a gal.
Yeah.
And Ray's actually a pretty big rock and roll fan, plays a little guitar.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, great artist.
I see why you met the Lord through Ray.
So, you know, and in my case, it really has been a journey, too. You know, it's been an evolution process for me. And a big part of my walk was I spent 3 years working for the Dale House Project down in Colorado Springs, small nonprofit group home that at the time was affiliated with Young Life. Mm-hmm. And it's very similar to the Providence Network in that these kids, juvenile delinquents or runaways, come and live in a home with the staff members. And it's a live-in community, incarnational ministry approach, where kids that have been through horrific backgrounds are able to see how to relate in a healthy way to each other. And again, that was a very impactful experience for me. And George Sheffer is the director down there and a real strong mentor in my life as well. Just experiencing Christ in a real way has been very important to me in my walk. And seeing that very real life needs are being met, along with the teaching and the worshiping and a lot of that stuff. But
is this what Christ meant, Bob, when he said, hey, I was hungry, you gave me food, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, and the boys are all looking around like, what are you talking about? I mean, is this exactly what he was saying, what Derek and everybody at the Providence Network?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, about Mother Teresa, who was such a great model for incarnational ministry, and how she always explained that, you know, her mindset was, you know, whatever. And again, that passage goes on to say, whenever you've done this to the least of these, you know, you've done it unto me. And when she would go and see a leper that had been left to die in the streets of India, and she had a little cart, she'd pull a little cart and she'd pick him up and put him on the cart and take him to this, you know, home for the dying, and just to love them so that they would die with some sense of dignity, or babies. And again, in India particularly, a lot of female babies are just thrown out in the trash. And so she started orphanages. And anyway, but she would always look at that person and say, there's Christ in a desperate situation. So in her mind, you know, very, very literally, when she would reach out and minister and love these people, she was loving Christ by loving them. So I think that, you know, the passage is, that's the right passage. And anyway, the Providence House is such a great example of that kind of thing.
And were the disciples sitting there when Christ was talking, who were being addressed there? Was it the boys sitting around? And they're like, what are you talking about? We never saw you hungry. We never saw you thirsty.
Yeah.
They were as clueless as people are today, who think we're not supposed to be doing this as Christians. This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and I, you know, the great thing about what Derek's doing and others around the world, really, you know, so often I think, you know, Christianity gets such a, people knock it so hard, you know, and yet when you look at what people are doing really out of love of Christ and constrained by the love of Christ. And, you know, I had friends that were down in Mississippi, you know, after Katrina. And, I mean, the focus was really on New Orleans. But, I mean, Mississippi, the southern coast of Mississippi was just devastated. Mm-hmm. And there was sort of this initial outpouring of help. And then everybody went home, except these groups from churches just kept coming and coming mm-hmm. and coming. And someone said, you know, really, that the church is rebuilding Mississippi, you know. So, you know, we don't always get it right, but it's really neat when you do see someone that's doing very, as you said, incarnational.
Yes.
Stuff.
And I really believe that is the power of our ministry, and part of what makes us unique is that our staff have made that life commitment and are actually living in the homes with our residents. So this is a 24/7 deal for our staff, and that's really what makes us unique. You know, the typical resident is 40 years old. They come to us, and they're desperate, and they feel like they've wasted decades of their lives. And they've been through every treatment program in the city. And they say, you know, this is kind of my last stop before I just go drink myself to death in the gutter. They come through our doors, and they see that our staff actually live and bunk with them, and have actually made a decision to commit their lives to this lifestyle in this ministry. Is a very powerful thing. And I mean, just an example, our director of our Providence One house, his name's Brad Allen. He's married, wife Laura, and they have two little kids. They share meals together with prostitutes and homeless guys. You can imagine a dinner table. You know, Zach, their four-year-old, spills some milk on the table. Brad's got 20 sets of eyes watching him to see what he does next. You know, they grew up in families where they got a cigarette burn on their neck if they did something like that. But what they see is him, you know, treating his son in a loving way, and doesn't yell at him, doesn't hit him. And what they're seeing with their own eyes is more than they could be preached at and learn in that moment. They're seeing Christ with their own eyes through that modeling. And that's powerful. And that's what we believe sets our ministry apart.
Have you guys heard the song Mogan David by Larry Gatlin?
Sorry, Bo.
I missed that one.
He got totally ripped for this song, and I think it was in the 70s. But it basically, it said, the doors to the mission open at 7, the soup will be ready. Sorry.
For those of you out there wondering what's happening,
yeah, I haven't forgotten the words. It makes me cry.
I know.
It says the soup will be ready by 9. Right now it's 6:30. They're ragged and dirty.
This isn't the one about the squirrel running
They're
up the leg.
They're standing and laying and sitting in line. First they'll do a little singing, then hear a little preaching, get saved. For the third time this week. A bowl of soup later and a pat on the shoulder. By midnight, they're back on the street. So the song, the part that got him in trouble, at the end of it, the chorus is, do they have Mogan David in heaven, sweet Jesus? Do they have Mogan David in heaven? Dear Lord, we'd all like to know, do they have Mogan David in heaven, sweet Jesus? If they don't, who the hell wants to go? And the point is... that Larry Gatlin was trying to make is there's got to be more to it than just saying, you know, line up and listen to what we're preaching here and let us serve you a bowl of soup. And the boys are back out there saying, you know, what I'm interested in here is a glass of Mogan David wine. And if they're not serving that in heaven, I'm not interested anyway. So I just love what you do with your life and the fact you say the staff's in there bunking with them, and it's just... it's not sit down and listen to what we're pounding through your head spiritually, and then we'll serve you a meal or give you a place to sleep. It's lifestyle evangelism, and you're the perfect guy to be leading this. So I love your whole model.
Well, thank you. And I need to thank you in a different way, too. There's a long history of this ministry with great leaders before me, and I'm just the fortunate one right now. Both Bo Mitchell, Bob Belts, and Bob Scold, and Andy Cannon are our founding fathers, and so it's an honor to be here today with the two of you and the vision that you had over 20 years ago to start something like this. And it's made many twists and turns since then, but it's on good solid ground, and I really have our founders to thank for that.
You ever see me cry like this?
not today yet.
Sorry about the dead air there, folks.
First time
I was
today.
Trying to get through that lyric. Yeah, but that's touching to me, though, that people are just so mistreated, and then that we would even be on the edge of being a part of misrepresenting Christ in that way. Because, I mean, I want to feed them if they're hungry, and I want to clothe them if they're naked, and come visit them if they're in prison, but can't always do it. So we just do the best we can, and Christ empowers us to do it. What do we need right now? Because we like asking folks who are listening to get involved, and
yes.
I think they're supposed to. So if it's money or volunteers or tickets to the Rockies.
Sure, all that. And certainly we're like any other ministry nonprofit right now, struggling financially. But we do.
We are? How much
you haven't
need?
Heard of that? Well, let me tell you about something that we're really excited about at Providence Network, and that is this new initiative to develop what we call Phase 2 housing apartment complexes. What we found is that for over 20 years, we've been doing a great job of connecting people, helping them heal, get back on their feet, and most of them do stay connected in community with us. But unless they have a place to go to after those 2 years that they're with us, it's easy to fall back. Old friends, old environment creeps back in. So, we have a goal of owning and operating our own apartment complexes where folks can graduate and go live at affordable rates. And then they will take all the principles and values they've learned with us and live them out on their own. It's more of an organic community run itself kind of model. And we've already got one up and running in Five Points, and it's been very successful. And we have a chance to do another one. And we have the backing of the Phil Anschutz Foundation locally here to the tune of about 80% of the funding for our next project. But we need to do a capital campaign to raise the rest. And we are really excited about this. It fits our mission of helping people all the way through their issues and having that hold of Christ stick with them in a community way. And so that's kind of where our efforts are right now, to maintain all the good things we're doing in our ministry, but also keep a vision for the future of where we can grow. And, you know, it's a real poignant time in the city of Denver right now with the mayor's initiative to end homelessness in the next 10 years, which sounds very ambitious, but through his leadership, he's brought a lot of attention to this problem. And we think that the city is really waiting for a group like us to kind of step up to the forefront and say, this is how you solve this abstract, confusing problem of homelessness. What you do is you commit relationally to people and help them deal with core issues and see them all the way through. And so we think we have a real chance right now to take advantage of this time in the history of our city to step up.
A lot of churches plugging in there, kind of adopting families. Is that part of the model, too?
Yes, and Mayor Hickenlooper's really embraced the faith-based community for help in this area. The Denver Rescue Mission's been great in starting this program where congregations can adopt homeless families and help mentor them. And so we work with them, but our efforts are to actually provide the bricks and mortar place where families can go live, and then they will create community within themselves to be the church to each other.
I know we're going to leave names out, and I hate to do this, but I want to say hooray to Jerry Middle, and I want you to do the same for another list of folks that make this happen. You don't want to do it because we're going to leave out 50.
Well, I just say our whole board is very supportive, and what's part of what makes us unique. They're very involved. And
great
and,
folks.
Yeah, and I don't want to try to name names. Okay. I think if people are interested, please, you can go to our website and everybody's picture's there.
Give that out, because I want people to, if you're touched and want to respond to how you're feeling, give a check or get involved. Or just contact them, go talk to Derek and his staff. But how do they find you?
Absolutely. ProvidenceNetwork.org. ProvidenceNetwork.org.
This is Derek Kirkendall, our guest today. You've been listening to You Get the Blessing. But this is a blessing for Bob and for me to be able to have guests like you on the program and share with the region what you're doing. So keep up the good work.
Yep. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Good way to spend your life. I mean, the words of Dan Pastorini, former quarterback for the Houston Oilers, it's got to be better than driving around the country in a Volkswagen bus. Does anyone remember that he said that besides me?
No.
And no one remembers Mogan David by Larry Gatlin except me.
No.
No, but
really.
I'm going to go check it out now.
Yeah. I could give you the whole lyric. And I knew what he was saying.
We don't have time for you to try and give the whole lyric.
I've done that in church before with just the benediction. All I'm supposed to do is stand up and say, and now, and something Belts has said during the sermon makes me cry, and I can see people looking up like, are we finished? Why has he paused?
Yeah.
Lori, did you find that song by Gatlin? That'd be a good one to play right now. Also, folks, another way we try to bless you here is to have you be a part of our furniture giveaway. So go to our website and yougettheblessing.com and nominate someone that's struggling and might need a house full of new furniture. And
we could give furniture to the houses that they're building for the transitional families. That would be a great connection.
That'd be a big hit. Thank you for putting that on us.
Yeah. And then
we should. That'd be a good idea. And I just say, Susie Hayes, our executive director of Crosswalk Fellowship, a sponsor of this program, does a great job with the furniture giveaway, and people are just blown away when we walk in and say, here, for the first time ever, here's some new beds and sofas and entertainment center and tables and so on and so forth. So please, if you know somebody, partner up with us, nominate them, and we'll make sure they're blessed. Thanks, Derek. You're a great guy.
Thank you.
Bob, anything parting?
I'm still stuck back on the sock on the doorknob, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Tough.
Everybody needs help from time to time, folks. So thank God for Providence Network and what he is doing through the great work there. And hope you'll tune in again. You get the blessing next week. We're glad to love on you, even though we don't know you. And come up and talk to us like you do on the streets and tell us you're listening, because that blesses us. So we'll see you next week. 850 KOA. Blessings.